Support for KPLU comes from the Shack Art Center, featuring a glass pumpkin patch and glassblowing demonstrations during Shacktoberfest, September 24th through 27th at the Shack Art Center in Everett. More information at shack.org.
I am so excited to welcome one of the key figures on Tacoma's jazz scene and a favorite of jazz fans around the Northwest and around the world, saxophonist Kareem Candy. Leading his own bands for the last 20 years, he's kept very busy as an educator at the Tacoma School of the Arts, Pierce College, and a growing number of private students. He also gigs with the Vancouver folk pop group, the Paperboys, and he's the director of the Tacoma Jazz Association. And this afternoon, he's joined by Delvon Lamar on the organ and Devon Lewis at the drums. Please help me welcome Kareem Candy.
Thank you.
Candy on the saxophone with his tune Guess Again, live in the studios here at KPLU. Delvon Lamar at the Hammond organ with Devon Lewis drumming. Great to have you in the studios. Kareem, tell us about your musical upbringing. Do you remember how young you were when music started to be important or fun for you?
My parents, it was kind of unorthodox. My dad's from the Middle East, so he listened to a lot of Middle Eastern music, Arabic music. He liked NPR and Confession. I used to hate jazz. He used to listen to it all the time, and I didn't like it at all. But so he listened to mostly NPR and Middle Eastern music. And my mom listened to, she was a great whistler and whistled show tunes and things. But not a lot of pop music in the house. That came later. Then went to Washington Hoyt Elementary School and started taking band, Mason Middle School, Stadium High School in Tacoma. They all have great band programs. And then my first teacher was from Tacoma, great saxophonist by the name of Tracy Canope. And so he kind of got me turned on to jazz and Charlie Parker. And then from there, Dexter Gordon, Sonny Stitt, Hank Mobley. And then that window of time when I was in high school was just like being in the right place at the right time, because there was a great club by the name of Red Kelly's.
Yeah.
And he would book a lot of great bands down there. So he'd bring Bill Ramsey's 10-piece band all the time. So I got to meet all those guys. So I was hearing, you know, Bill Ramsey, Chuck Stentz, Chuck Deardorff, John Wecon, John Hansen, Clarence Acox, Cavalcade, everybody on the scene, like the older kind of guard, not that they're, you know, old, but they came before me, great players.
Right.
And he was bringing up Pete Chrislieb quite a bit to perform. So between Tracy as an influence on the saxophone and Bill Ramsey and Pete Chrislieb, those were huge influences for me, because I could actually talk to them and hear them. And, you know, they were tangible people that I could question and get information from. So that was huge for me. It's just right in the right place at the right time.
So. Now, aside from the immense education you could get just hanging out and watching them play, listening to them, did they give you any specific tips on ways to play or how to handle yourself as a musician?
Tracy a lot, just with like formal education, like playing the saxophone. He had gone to the Berklee School of Music and he studied with Joe Viola, who is kind of like the Yoda of saxophone, and everybody that's a major saxophonist at some point you can trace back the lineage to them. So I got that indirectly from Tracy playing the saxophone. But more so just life as a musician and talking with guys like Bill and Pete Chrislieb, like you get little time. If I asked specific questions, they'd always help. But more it was just observing them, how they acted, how they behaved as human beings and as musicians. And so that was huge for me, for sure.
Now, I'll ask you about developing your own style, your own sound. How do you think what are you shooting for when you're playing live? What do you want an audience to get out of Kareem Candy's music?
Well, hopefully they'll enjoy it. I mean, I think we're playing for ourselves, and we're also conscious of the audience and how they're responding. So I'm always keeping an eye on, is the band happy? And sometimes yes, sometimes no. And is the audience happy? You know, because we're trying to make everybody have an enjoyable experience. So I think I kind of try to pick material that serves those purposes when we're playing and try to cover all the bases, you know, because some people want to hear us just play standards, and other people want to hear more of like a backbeat, and other people want to hear maybe a ballad or some original compositions. So it's a fine line to cover all those things. And then you look around at your peers. I mean, we're in such a great area with many diverse musicians. So in order to work all these different rooms, you kind of have to be a chameleon in a sense in terms of material that you play and be able to take any situation that comes your way.
That's right. Now, as you said, you play a lot of standards and songs that the crowds know, but you're also a prolific composer. And I wonder if there's anything that inspires your writing, or if it's something that you have to kind of set a schedule. Okay, today is my writing day.
A little bit of both. Sometimes I'll get people that'll commission pieces for certain things. And so then, of course, there's the schedule that's always looming and causing
deadline,
stress.
Right.
And then other times, too, it's just, you know, if there's, like, we're planning an album, okay, I need something that would fit this format or this style. But a lot of times, I think most of the pieces that I write just comes from, like, life experiences. Like, something will happen. It's like, oh, I would like to capture that with sound. And it's getting better with the last few projects. Like, I haven't prompted, like, if I've played some on piece, I haven't prompted what I'm trying to get across, and I'll ask them, what does this make you think of? And they usually are right in the ballpark of what I'm trying to convey. So that's been kind of interesting. So it just depends on what I'm writing for. So yeah.
We're live in the studios with saxophonist Kareem Candy and his trio. We've got Delvon Lamar at the Hammond organ and Devon Lewis on drums. And we'd love to hear another tune, another original.
Yes, this is a piece, an original composition entitled Love in All Its Forms.
Kareem Candy, live on KPLU. Kareem Candy on the saxophone.
Thank you.
Delvon Lamar on Hammond organ, Devon Lewis at the drums. I wanted to ask you, you're a very, very busy guy. You're playing around a lot, as I just mentioned. You're also teaching a whole lot. I wonder how much time you have for recording. Where does recording fit into your schedule?
That's a good question. It's pretty, pretty tight. And Delvon and I talk about this all the time because we're all very, very busy. So hopefully within the next few months, we'll get another album going. We're going to do one where it's more of like a backbeat, a funk album, and then one where it's more straight ahead. And then I recently found out I'm going to be a dad soon, so time's going to get even tighter.
Congratulations.
So, yeah. But we certainly, both Devon writes a ton. Devon writes... I write, and so we keep adding compositions, but finding time to actually sit down and record is tough, so we need to do that more.
Excellent. I want to ask a question to the director of the Tacoma Jazz Association now,
yes,
a guy with a lot of experience playing around Tacoma, talking about the days back at Red Kelly's, mm-hmm. and it feels like there's a bit of a resurgence in Tacoma as far as the jazz scene's considered.
I think so. You know, I've lived in Tacoma my whole life, so, well, my parents moved there when I was one, so 36 years now. And I think certainly there's more and more venues. There's a lot of great players in the area. Just off the top of my head, there's a great piano player, David Joyner, a great drummer, Mark Ivester's down there, Tracy Canope, trombonist Gary Schutz, Janae Kendrick just moved there as well, Delvon Lamar. There's a lot of great players, and more venues are seeking to have live music, in particular live jazz. So I certainly think so. And I think the Tacoma Jazz Association and Jazz Clubs Northwest, for that matter, is helping to work with clubs to present more music and work with regional acts and also headlining acts from out of state. So I think there is a resurgence. I would agree with that for sure.
A quick question before we get back to one more song about jazz education. You're spending a lot of time with young kids from schools to private lessons, and I wonder if that gives you some insight on what we can expect down the road in the world of jazz. What's the direction of the future of jazz right now?
Oh, I think it's bright. I mean, You hear people that'll say jazz is dead, but I certainly don't see that at all, and just because jazz encompasses so many different styles of music. So there might be someone who's way into... death metal, and they might hear something that incorporates like jazz and death metal. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, and that'll get them listening to like late John Coltrane, who knows. But I think with a lot of the kids, there's so many different avenues for them to hear and listen to music, whether it's radio or internet or albums or MP3s, I mean, you name it. I think the future is bright, and I think there's more and more people. I think jazz programs are thriving. I think particularly in the Northwest between, you know, Seattle, there's so many creative groups. Seattle, Tacoma, Olympia, you know, Vancouver, BC, just the surrounding area. There's so many great schools and teachers and players, and I think we're very blessed. And I think particularly here in the Northwest, jazz is bright. So, for sure.
Fantastic. Then let's finish off with a song for the kids. Yes. Kareem Candy's Trio, live on KPLU. Thank you.
Thank you.